Psalm chapter 64. Tonight, Psalm 64. Psalm 64, this is really David's prayer for deliverance. He's one of the things that we find David praying for many times in the Psalms, that the Lord would deliver him from his enemies, that God would just confound their minds and their plans, and that the things that they're trying to put together against him, that God would not allow those things to be brought together. Psalm 64 is very similar, and just reading this recently, and it was really a blessing to me. There were a lot of things that came to my mind that kind of just leaped off the page. Let's go ahead and read it together, and we'll have a word of prayer here in a second. Psalm 64, it's only 10 verses. It says, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of the Lord, or excuse me, the work of God. For they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, again for this time where we can so freely open your word. Thank you for the privilege that it is to have the Bible. I pray that you'd help us to receive tonight those things that you'd like for us to see. Encourage us and help us to be strengthened in our walk with you. Pray this in your name. Amen. Three things that David really is asking in the first verse and then in the first part of the second. Excuse me. He asks that the Lord would hear his voice, preserve my life, and also to hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked. You know, I have, whenever COVID really began, there were a lot of things that I looked at, and you know, you try to, I guess, I don't like to just be pushed along and prodded like a herd of cattle. I like to be able to think for myself, research, and figure some things out. And anyway, there's all these conspiracies out there. I know people are all, everybody has their opinion. But, you know, I think one thing that we can definitely agree on is our nation is in a lot of deep trouble. We see a lot of problems. We've known this for a long time, but it seems that the longer we go, the more and more horror happens. I remember the morning, I can't remember exactly which date it was, but I remember getting up one morning. There was a news update that was on my phone. I said, oh, Minneapolis is on fire. They looted and rioted, and Minneapolis burned the 3rd Precinct Police Department. I remember watching the replay of that and just being flabbergasted. I mean, I've gone past there. I grew up, I don't know, maybe an hour south of that area. And but we went to Minneapolis several times, the Twins games or whatever. And, you know, it blew my mind that we could be in such a state. I don't think I've ever seen something like that in my lifetime. But as we begin to look at the state of our country and the world in which we live, we can see that people have turned their backs on God and they've forgotten God. They deny God. And there's an agenda that is turning, you know, is out for the hearts of people to turn them away from God, to change the direction. And if you live godly, or anything that is godly, becomes a marked target. Becomes a, you know, we know this from Ephesians chapter 6. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We're at war. Let me rephrase that. We're not really, we ourselves are not at war. God and Satan are at war. And Satan, who is the prince of the darkness of this world, is at war with a God to whom he has rebelled against and rejects. And as Christians, we are to be a light in this world of darkness. We're to be showing forth the gospel. We're to be showing forth the love of Christ, the truth. And as we do that, we're going to have enemies, and there are going to be things that come against us. And here David, I think of his life and how he was so persecuted. Some historians estimate that it was a period of about 10 years that David was on the run from Saul. It's a lot of time. And you can imagine, you know, he had a home, he had a wife, he had a position. He lost all those things. His wife Michal was given by Saul to another man. That in itself would have torn me inside out. But here David is on the run from this fella who hates him because he is doing what is right. And he has followed God. And here he prays, and he just calls out to the Lord. And he says, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer." The Hebrew word for "hear me" here, or "hear my," it speaks of asking God to hear him intelligently. It speaks of a diligence that God would give to the voice of David. He would listen with discernment also. Isn't that how we want God to hear our prayer? Isn't that neat how God will hear our individual voice? And that he when we are in a situation, we can call out and pray and seek the Lord. David here, he's begging that God would hear my voice, that you would listen, and that you would give me your thoughts, give me your mind, that your attention would be turned to the needs that I have right now. In Psalm 55, 1 and 2, David later also, or earlier, chronologically here, he said, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise." Psalm 130 in verse 2, "Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications." His prayer was that God would hear him, that God would give him his attention. There was a second thing he asked for. He said, "To preserve my life from fear of the enemy." This idea of preserving means to guard, to protect, or to conceal even, to keep close. And as I think about this, you know, it reminds me of God as our Heavenly Father. You know, the role of a father is a protector, right? We often think of if there was harm, I would rise up to the challenge and I'd go to that source of harm, and I would stand between it and my family. There was a pastor I knew that was sharing a story about his daughter. She was deathly afraid of dogs. Did not like dogs, and for whatever reason, I don't think she'd ever had a bad experience. It just, dogs scared her to death. Well, he was talking about how they were at a friend's house having a barbecue. And his friend had a German Shepherd. He didn't even give it a thought. They went in the backyard, having a great time. This German Shepherd was pretty young. And as young dogs like to do, it sees something its height, and it came tearing right at his daughter. He said, "I looked, and I saw," I saw the look of terror on her face. And before she could even turn, I put my hand down. All she had to do was turn around, and there he was. That is a picture of our Heavenly Father. "Hear my voice. Father, will you give me your attention? Will you listen to my prayer? Preserve me. My heart is fearful. I'm looking at things that I don't understand. I can't reason. I can't understand these things. Protect me. Preserve me from fear of the enemy. What a picture. What a picture. The third thing he prays for here is that the Lord would hide him. To hide by covering or to keep close. In Psalm 31, verse 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Again, David wrote in Psalm 143 and verse 9, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. He knew where to run. He knew where to go because it was God in whom he had his trust. You know, there are things that come that present themselves to us in life, and we cannot get away from it. We're faced with a challenge or we're faced with a problem, and there seems to be no escape. There is one. There is God who is faithful, and we can always turn to him. But then he begins to talk about not just the details of his prayer, but he talks about the purposes of the wicked, the things that they are doing against him. Look at the second part of verse 2, all the way down to verse 6. Well, I'll read this, and then we'll go back and talk about some individual things here. He asked that the Lord would hear his voice, preserve his life from fear of the enemy, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot them in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him, and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. The purposes of the wicked. He says in verse 2, he asked the Lord to hide him from the secret counsel of the wicked. Now, this idea of a secret counsel speaks of a secret assembly or a secret consultation that is taking place without his knowledge. There are people that are meeting together in secret, planning his demise. Okay? Planning harm against him. And he's praying that God would hide him from the plans, from the secret counsel, from the things that they are planning against him. And I think one of those instances comes to mind is in 1 Samuel chapter 23, when David is running from Saul, and he had gone to the land of Keilah, and the Philistines had a presence there. David and his band of, I think it was 600 at the time, defeated the Philistines. They delivered these people from the Philistines. Hey, and by the way, something that is so interesting. So many times you find Saul doing absolutely nothing to fulfill his role as king in Israel, as you know, if you think about it, as protector. Several times it's mentioned how the Philistines had come in, and Saul is either hiding or he is holding them at bay, but he is doing nothing to repel them back. Here, these people had a presence in Israel, in the land, in this place called Keilah, and it was David and his men who pushed the Philistines out and delivered these people. Now, if you recall, some of those people went to Saul and told him where David was. Isn't that gratitude? Isn't that a whole lot of nice, warm, thank you so much for delivering us? David... let's see here. I think he went to, can't think of his priest's name. But he went to him and asked for the ephod. He besought the Lord, and he went to God and said, are they going to come? Is he on his way? And God said, yes, he is. And so David got together his band of men, and they fled to the woods of Ziph. But there again, the Ziphites betrayed him as well. And they went to Saul and they told him. You know, these were not things that David knew, but God delivered David out of those things. Even though wicked men were laying a trap for David and betraying him, God was faithful to the one who was serving and obedient to him, and he delivered him from his enemy. I think about even later in life, 2 Samuel chapter 17, Ahithophel, David's counselor, David's source of wisdom or sound advice, a man who had served with David for many years, older than he was by several years, I'm sure, but he also had been through a lot of things with David. But when Absalom rebelled against David, Ahithophel, David's counselor, sided with Absalom. And in 2 Samuel chapter 17, he devises a plan where he says, I think it was 3,000 men or 20,000, I forget, or I'm not going to say because I don't remember. Let me take a force and I will surround him. And then he said, I will make him afraid and I myself will smite him. You know, something interesting about Ahithophel, David's counselor, you say, how does somebody go from serving and being so faithful to a king and having such loyalty to being a man who says, let me terrorize him and then I will kill him? How does that happen? Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. You say, you know, I wonder. Could the root cause of Ahithophel's going over to the side of Absalom be because he was bitter with how David had handled that whole thing? It's just an interesting food for thought. But it definitely, something had turned his heart. But the secret counsel, David's pleading for God to hide him from the secret counsel. Verse 2 again, he says, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. Insurrection means a rising against civil or political authority. Boy, do we see that here today. A rising in mass to oppose an enemy. Psalm chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They have a purpose. They have a purpose. Verse 3. They also have destructive speech. He uses some words to describe their speech. He says they whet their tongue like a sword. They bend their bows to shoot their arrows, which are even bitter words. Well, you know, our mouth can do a lot of damage, can't it? And these people who are hateful toward David, they use destructive speech against him, try to tear him down, to discredit his testimony or his character. You know, it seems today that you look at almost anybody who stands up for anything that's right, and they make a statement, it's not very long until somebody comes along trying to discredit their character. Somebody tries to tear them down. And I think of that here with this idea of they bend their bow. They have them in their sights. There's a goal. There's a plan. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. They have secret intentions. Look at verse 4. They have these counsels. They have insurrections. They're speaking bitter words that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They have intentions. Also verse 5. They are encouraged by evil. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. The word encourage, it means to be strong or obstinate. They know it's wrong, yet the more, I guess, they are obstinately opposed to doing what is right. And they are encouraged by doing what is wrong. Think of Proverbs chapter 1, where it says, if they say, come with us, let us wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. And Solomon admonished his son, he said, when sinners entice thee, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't go that way. But here these fellows, they're encouraging themselves together in their wrong and their planning. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They become bolder in a sense as they plan. Psalm chapter 10 and verse 11. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. There's no accountability. You see, one thing, you know, when we remove accountability, when we remove authority, let me rephrase all that. When we remove authority, we take away accountability. Okay? When I was a kid, my mom and dad were my authority. Okay? I knew dad was bigger because mom would say, when your dad gets home, he had a old Oldsmobile 98 Elite. It was white. Had a cell phone in it with a cord. Yeah, I remember that. We used to pick that thing up. You weren't supposed to do that, but we picked that up. Boy, this was probably mid-90s. I don't remember. It wasn't connected. I forget how those old things work, but you had to buy a service plan. No, it wasn't a bag phone. This thing actually had a mount right there in the floor, like where your four-wheel drive shift would be if it was a truck. And a great big antenna on the back. Not as big as a CB radio, but I remember that motor had a certain sound. I knew it. And about 5 o'clock, I'd have myself parked in the living room. And I cranked the window open. And when I heard that Oldsmobile pull in the driveway, I knew my goose was cooked. I was okay up until that point. And my mom would meet my dad at the door and she'd say, Brent, Adam. And then, I just marched to the bedroom. I knew it was going to happen. I saw a fella recently that was talking about those experiences where you and your brothers had done wrong. And he said, I'd sit there and I'd look at all the belts my daddy owned. And they each seemed to be crying out saying, I hope he picks me. He said, we'd spank ourselves, walk down the hallway, and dad would say, where are you going? We took care of it. And they'd keep walking. Anyway, that's how I felt. But why? It's because I had authority in my life. There was an accountability. When I did wrong, there were going to be consequences. There was going to be something that took place. And today, we have taught our children that everything, you know, nobody can, you be your own person. And we've torn down the role of authority in our society, in our families, and now today we have the consequences. People think that they can do whatever they want. I saw a meme on Facebook a friend of mine posted, and it showed a kid in a shopping cart, and the clothes and everything was probably early 90s. And the meme said, you remember those kids that your mama always said, just wait till they grow up? Anybody remember that? You know, throwing a fit, just screaming and kicking. I remember being in a store seeing that. My mom would say, just wait till that kid grows up. Then it showed the streets on fire and all the things going. I said, they have. Why? The authority has been broken down. And here these people, they're becoming bolder in their plans. They search out iniquities. Here he says in verse 6, they search out iniquities, and this speaks of an idea that they consider, they plan, they invent, devise, they seek for wicked plans to wreak malice. Okay? They're not just villains, but they are also inventors. They are coming up with ways to carry out their plans. Okay? So sad. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. Think about how our human heart is so deep and fathomless, is so deceitful and terribly wicked. And who can know? But then, I like this next part. Verses 7 through 10, we find some promises that God gives us. In this part of the chapter, the word shall is used 10 times. There's a whole lot of promises here that we find. But God, you know, it's kind of a neat way that this chapter runs. In the first two verses, you have David praying for God to hear him, to preserve him, to hide him. And then in verses 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, he's describing their character, the character of his enemies, the way that they're planning and the scheming and all these things that they're doing that are trying to be put together to bring apart his destruction. But then in verse 7, there's a total change of direction. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Can you imagine what God's arrow has got to be like? I don't think you're going to escape. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. There's a promise that God gives to the wicked, and that is he will judge wickedness suddenly. Verse 7, again, to shoot this arrow, that they will be wounded. Their own tongue, the things that they've planned, all those things are going to come back upon themselves. Remember in, I think I have it written down here. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 27. It says, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. Okay, and the idea is that you've dug a pit for somebody else to fall into. And God says, you're going to fall into the pit. He that rolleth a stone, picture in your mind somebody rolling a stone down a hill or off the side of a cliff trying to drop it on somebody else, it will return upon him. And what God's saying is, I am going to turn the tables on the wicked. I see, I know, and I will take care of it. Also, when God shoots, nobody's going to be able to stand. Nobody's going to be able to escape. And all these people who are doing this, this is something I thought was interesting. God is going to shoot at them with an arrow. One arrow. God doesn't need unlimited supplies. With the word of his mouth. Verse 9. There's a promise toward all men, and that is he's going to receive honor and glory. All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. And look at verse 10. This is a promise that he gives to the righteous. He's going to deliver, and so there is no need to fear the evil that is surrounding us. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him. And all the upright in heart shall glory. I'd like you to, just in closing, go over to Psalm chapter 112, please. This is two verses that I'd like to close with here. I think need to be pointed out. There's no need to fear what men shall do, because when we are trusting in the Lord, he will take care of us. Psalm 112, look at verse, 7 and 8. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. The word for fixed, it means to stand erect or to stand upright. It speaks of certainty, faithfulness, something that is established. And it is this way because this person is trusting in the Lord. So he has no need to be afraid of evil tidings. Look at verse 8. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. The word for established here means to lean upon or to take hold of. And several times that we find it used, it demonstrates a leaning upon. You know, as Christians, or as children of God, do we live the Christian life, or are we doing what is right simply by our own strength? Not at all. We do it through faith, which is trusting God or leaning upon Him. He gives the provision, He gives the strength, He gives the wisdom, He opens doors that are shut, He straightens pathways that are crooked. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. David cried out to the Lord, and he said, "Hear me, preserve me, hide me." And again, it's just another reminder to me that we need to be in prayer and to be going to the Lord earnestly, not just for our daily needs, but we need to be people of prayer who are looking to God to change a direction, to change our lives, to use us in a place where people are miserable and discouraged. Our Heavenly Father has all the answers. He has so much protection. He's given us provision, everything. And when we go to Him, trust Him. Yield ourselves to Him. Allow Him to use us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you so much for the love that you have for each one of us. Thank you for the new life that we have in Christ. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have your word, which is our sword. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be studying your word, to be learning it, to know the plan that you have for us. And I pray also that we would be diligent in our walk with you, obedient to the things that we know that we're supposed to be doing. But Father, I also pray that you'd help us in these days especially, that we would be sharing the gospel with other people, that the things that we would come across that would be hindrances or enemies, that we would give those things to you, Lord, and not allow those to close our mouths and to keep us from speaking about our God. We pray tonight, Lord, for our country, our state, even our community here in Stratton and Eustis. There are so many people that do not know God, do not even know of God, really, other than a swear word, curse, or some religious symbol. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would use us and people like us all across our nation to share the truth with these people, and that we would see people's hearts turn, that we would see people come to know you as their Savior, and that they would grow in you. And we ask this in your name.